Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, February 5th, 2018. With me today, I have Kelly Gaumont. How's it going, Kelly?
It's going well, Jeff. How about you?
I'm doing great. And Andrew Orr, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing good.
Awesome. It's great to have both of you here. And I'm just tossing this in, even though it's not really a topic, but OMG, Solo, Star Wars trailer. I have hope.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. It just got hot in here. Whew.
Okay. Okay, so just to clue people in just for a minute. So this is the magic of podcasting. You can pause right here. They've officially released a trailer for the Han Solo movie. You can go watch it, and then you can come back, and we'll be right here where you left us.
And I will have a link in the show notes.
And I promise it will not be a waste of your time.
Also, it's going to be on the homepage of Mac Observer, because I can do that. It's good to be the managing editor.
It is indeed.
Yes. All right. Well, then let's hop into other topics, and we'll start with iOS and kind of how we have a problem with some of the features. So I need to give people the backstory here. Last week, Melissa Holt, she wrote a fantastic tip that explains how you can answer a call on your Apple Watch, put someone on hold, find your iPhone, and then take the call. And it's one of those things that when I was reading the tip and editing it, I was shocked because I had no idea you could do this. So it's great, and people are loving the tip, and that's awesome. And everyone that I tell this about is like, wait, what? And listening to the wonder in your voice, Kelly, the amazement when we tried this right before recording the show so that you could see how it worked. It was awesome because it's a really handy feature. It's really useful. And no one knew about it, apparently, except for Melissa.
And the great thing about it is that it makes it super handy if you have because generally, odds are good you are closer to your watch than you are to your phone in some instances. And this makes it so that you don't have to miss the call, but you don't also have to like awkwardly try to talk into your watch, which can be effective, but for some people is weird. Or, you know, like if you work in a place where other people can hear you, like I don't have this problem working out of my house, but other people might. So that like it was useful for so many different people that I, you know, when we tried it out, I was like, as you said, after Melissa's tip about answering and putting people on hold, I'm like, what?
Yeah.
It was, and part of it was mostly because I'd really never seen that, which was sort of frustrating. Like I could have been doing this all along instead of trying to talk to my arm sometimes and basically only telling the person, hold on, I'm getting to my phone.
Right.
Yeah. I could have been doing this instead, but I didn't know because I never saw it.
Yeah, there you go. So that's why this is a topic I wanted to discuss today, because none of us knew about this until Melissa told us about it. And we are so deep into the Apple ecosystem. I mean, we're eating, breathing, dreaming this stuff all the time, and none of us had any idea. So it got me to thinking, there's a lot of stuff we don't know, and I'm now doing the collective we for everyone, us, the people listening to the show, the people that ought to be listening to the show but aren't, and what's up with those people. But that's another thing. What is the deal with that? I mean, why is Apple giving us all these features that are hidden and they're just not bothering to make it clear to people that they're there? It's not easy to find these things.
The thing I think is limiting in this case is even if you have the larger Apple Watch, that's not a lot of room for something. Now, when I think about it, like that's the first thing I think of is like you don't really have room for a lot of that stuff. And then I think about how Apple made things sort of discoverable, I think, and Jeff and Andrew, you may have to correct me on this one, but I think it started in the App Store where they sort of consciously had that one app icon that wasn't all the way on the screen to sort of imply that there was more that direction if you just scrolled that way.
Which is great, but also subtle.
Wasn't that iTunes, like the App Store where they were doing that initially so that you could tell there was more stuff like on your device on iOS?
Yeah, and they've done some stuff with the videos in the App Store where you'll see something scroll, and yeah, so there's little things like that. But it's the sort of thing where you have to go and find that, and if you don't know that you can go and look for these things, you simply don't know.
Right. And so, well, what I'm thinking is I understand that it's not a lot of space. I have the smaller model Apple Watch, the 38.
That's the one I wear too.
Right. So when I could see where, you know, maybe there could be some sort of indicator at the bottom to swipe up, you know, and then you would see it, because otherwise, like, how would you know these options are there? So the tip, just to spoil Melissa's pose for everybody, is that you swipe up on your watch while your phone is ringing. And while you're getting a call. And if I had any indication that you could swipe up and do that, then maybe I would have. And I think that's part of it. But the other thing about it, I think, is that I don't remember seeing like the Apple support Twitter feed or other things like that talking about this stuff themselves. I'm not seeing a whole lot of stuff about sort of these hidden features that are part of watchOS. Mm-hmm. Andrew, what are you seeing? Like, have you seen anything like this, or are you getting tips from people on accident sort of like this?
Yeah, most of the tips I find them on accident, or I'll see someone else mention them. The only tips I've seen the Apple support Twitter account tweet about are mostly iOS.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, which makes sense, because
yeah,
you're going to have more iOS users than Apple Watch users, but this extends to iOS as well. And you know, one of the things that at this point I still consider a hidden feature is the Force Touch.
Yeah.
Oh, it totally is, because it continues to change.
Right. And what I've done is I've just started pressing hard on my screen on my iPhone just to see what happens when I'm pressing in different places. Mm-hmm. And like one of the things that I found, which totally surprised me, Force Touch the icon for the Starbucks app. Mm-hmm. I can jump right to the payment barcode, or
I do like that one.
I can reload my Starbucks card from there too.
Mm-hmm.
I have idea. Yeah. See. Oh wow. So Force Touch is, in my opinion, still a hidden feature, because
now
people don't know.
Is that one Force Touch or is that one 3D Touch?
Because
which
difference?
One is my trackpad?
Oh,
one is my trackpad and one is my phone.
Yeah,
so phone is 3D Touch, and then the Mac is Force Touch.
Okay,
all right. So when 3D I 3D Touch on the Starbucks app on my home screen,
more stuff happens.
Place an order, find nearby stores, reload my card, or pay.
And if you Force Touch any app, whether or not it has any, when you 3D touch an app. Whether or not it has any 3D touch capability built into it or not, you have the option to share it.
Okay.
So you can share a link to the App Store. So I can go, hey, Jeff, you need this app. And it'll do it.
And it's better to do it from there than from the App Store. And here's why.
Yes. Because
if you do it from 3D touching an app icon, the email it makes in the subject field fills in the name of the app. If you do it from in the App Store, there's nothing in the subject field for your email. So you have to write something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I usually send via messages, but I have noticed that difference. The one I like, so I continue to 3D touch stuff on my phone because it changes. Because like I said, you know, as other apps sort of figure out what they can do with it, because I know a number of developers initially were like, this is great, but I have to figure out how it makes sense for me. So as it has gotten more refined and people have figured out, like, if, you know, this is an easy thing to 3D touch to use, it's gotten a lot more useful. But it started out sort of prefabbed into the apps that ship on iOS. So, for example, the phone app, if you 3D touch the phone app, it will give you certain options. So if you had, like, it'll give you like your top three or four favorites.
Oh, and you can see your favorites. Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Which you just said, and I was so excited, I didn't realize it.
So, you know, there's a reason those people are your top favorites. So it makes it easier than having to go all the way into the app. The camera app has 3D touch. So you can tell it like to immediately switch to the selfie camera. If you 3D touch messages, it uses sort of AI, I think, to figure out, like, generally during this time of the day, these are the people you're texting. So it will automatically pop those up for you. Some of those are really cool, but you don't know about them unless you either try them out or you know someone like me who does this stuff all the time and goes, hey, did you know that you can do this?
All right. So instead of just complaining about stuff that's not there, before we move on to our next topic, I want to know, do you guys have any idea about what Apple could do to make it easier for us to discover hidden features in iOS and watchOS?
Well, I know they have the Tips app, but I don't think that covers hidden features like this. So they should make a separate section for it.
Like, maybe you unlock those if you've made it through all of the intro tips.
Okay.
Like, did you know you can add more than one email account or something like that? And like, when you've sort of unlocked all of the basic stuff that the Tips app tells you now, it should tell you stuff like...
Call them power user tips.
Yeah, because then app becomes more useful to people, because I got a new iPad recently, and when the Tips app popped up, I went, oh yeah, that's a thing, sighed deeply, rolled my eyes, and nuked it.
And, I did the same thing.
And if I went through it every once in a while, I would find something that was useful, then I would keep it, and you know, and then it would pop up and it would go, did you know that you can answer from your arm and put that person on hold until you can make it to your phone? No, I didn't. That's amazing.
Okay. So Apple knows what device we are on when we visit the Apple store.
Mm-hmm.
The Apple website. So why not, if it's detecting we're on an iPhone or an iPad, have an extra little button that comes up that's very, very visible right away that takes you to Tips and Tricks?
Yeah.
So,
or have one of those rotating banners at the top of like the support section or something. You know, did you know that you can this if you that?
Sure.
You know, click here for a little video or whatever. And then they could archive all those, because the videos they put out on the support account are pretty cool. Like, they're professional. They're very effective. They're very efficient. Like, they're very, very short, but they tell you how to do something very specific. So repurpose those by having them rotate through like a carousel at the top of the support site or something. Because I would do that.
Have either of you tried asking S Lady for tips?
I have not.
Sometimes.
Do you get any response?
Usually not, but I actually found one. I think this counts as a hidden tip that involves Siri.
Okay.
Where I think this only works if you have Apple Music, but if you say, hey, person, play me some good music, and it will create your own personal radio station. So it's kind of like the For You section, but accessible anytime.
That's okay. Clever. Okay.
All right. That's if you have Apple Music, correct?
I'm assuming, yeah.
Okay.
That makes sense. All right. Well, okay. So before we move on to another topic, I'm going to try an experiment and with S Lady and see what happens.
Okay.
Hey, Siri, tell me an iPhone tip. Okay, well, that would have been great if this is a video show. Because
did she show you one?
What she did was she took me to, what app am I in? I think I'm in the Tips app now. And it took me specifically to iOS 11 Tips. Oh, and it has a section down here for Apple Watch below that. So, okay, well... That's actually useful. because now I've got a window or a screen that's full of tips for iOS 11.
Okay, so I just tried it and muted while I did it, so nobody could hear it. But she told me everything you need to know about, because I said, show me an iOS tip. And she said, everything you need to know about iOS is available at Apple's website, and gave me a button to go to apple.com.
So we can't even get consistent help for tips.
No!
That's awesome. So, oh yeah, so it is the Tips app. Apparently, I have the Tips app on my iPhone 10 and haven't nuked it yet. Maybe you got that because you don't have the Tips app.
Probably.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, there we go. There's another hidden tip. If you have the Tips app on your iPhone and ask Siri for some tips, she's going to take you to that app. All right, let's talk about something else. Because
the Han Solo trailer. Oh.
Oh, my God. Yes. Oh, no, wait. No, we're going to talk about Apple Music and Spotify. So here's the deal. There's a report out that says that Apple Music growth in the United States, and it's important, this is in the United States, is fast enough that by this summer, unless something changes, Apple Music will have more paid subscribers in the United States than Spotify does. So Apple's growth rate is 5% new paid subscribers a month, and Spotify is 2% growth. So even though Spotify has a lot more subscribers overall, at least in the United States, Apple may surpass them in the next few months.
Isn't Apple Music subscribers, the last time I heard, wasn't it like 35 million?
36 million. So you were very close.
Okay.
And so Spotify is 70 million. And those are worldwide numbers, not US numbers.
That was going to be my question, was how does that stack up? Like, I know they're going to surpass in the US, but how does that put a dent in Spotify on a worldwide scale?
Well, it's a dent, but Spotify will still have substantially more paid subscribers. But here's the thing. If you look at Apple's numbers, when you add in the people that are on the 3-month trial window, mm-hmm. at any given moment, Apple has like 3 times the number of subscribers because of the trials. Now, Spotify doesn't offer a similar feature, so that's not a fair comparison or a realistic comparison.
They used to offer 30 days, and Apple Music is 90. Or at least it used to be a 3-month trial.
So Apple Music, 3-month trial, and Spotify, you have the free tier and the paid tier.
Okay.
Yeah. So, are you guys ready for Apple Music to overtake Spotify?
That depends. Are they going to make it
happen?
Are they going to make it so I can play Apple Music on the A-Lady?
No, of course not. All right, so here's another thing that I found out as I was looking into the whole Apple Music versus Spotify thing. Apple Music has more tracks available than Spotify does. But you wouldn't know it by listening to Apple Music.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the way it works out is it sure seems like you have a lot more music to listen to on Spotify. So what that tells me is Spotify is much better with their algorithm.
Oh, yeah.
And Apple needs to work on that for Apple Music.
Mm-hmm.
I've never used Spotify myself, but probably the biggest complaint I've seen or comparison between the two is that Spotify's how they recommend new music to you is a lot better than Apple's.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all.
Because I've had, like, with the For You section that gets updated every Friday, there have been weeks where I think the recommendations are good, And then there are weeks where I hate almost every song. So I think they need to do better at that.
Yes, I agree.
Well, I'm a free Spotify user. And one of the things that I really like about it, and I don't know if Apple Music has this feature, but the reason I continue to go back to Spotify and stream stuff is because they have like top 40 charts for other countries. So I can go find out what music is popular. You know, what's Casey Kasem counting down in Germany or France or the UK? And it's really interesting to me to see those charts, to watch those charts. And I find different music that way. I do a little bit of the sort of radio station stuff on Spotify, but a lot of times I just go listen to those charts or like what's new this week. And I can sample a little bit of stuff to see. I can sample enough of a record to know if I should go out and buy it, because I'm still old school enough to go buy records once in a while. So that's what I find valuable in Spotify, is that. So hearing that Apple Music may not have the greatest recommendations is kind of a bummer. But I think part of that is also like, it would be hard for me because my music's all over the map. So I would probably just mostly make the algorithm angry if I was trying to get it to recommend stuff to me.
Yeah, I totally get it. For some reason, Apple's algorithm thinks that I want to listen to modern country music all the time. And I know there's a lot of people that really love modern country music, and that's fine. It's just not my thing.
Right.
And yet when I get the For You mix every week, mm-hmm. it never fails. There's always a couple modern country songs that I don't like, and yeah. So yeah. Anyhow,
my iTunes library is everything from The Gambler to Poker Face. So like, yeah, I don't think Apple Music is going to help me a whole lot with that either, but I'm not usually in the mood to listen to all of it at once. I want, you know, I only want rock stuff, or I only want dance music, or I only want film score. So far, just with the free stuff, which basically means limited skips, I do pretty well with the free Spotify. And if at this moment, if I was considering paying for a streaming music service, right now it would be Spotify. And the two biggest reasons are because I have done some tuning there with some of the For You and stuff. I have, like, you know, playlists of like stuff I like and tuned that a little bit. And also because I could play it on my Echo Base. If I'm in a room where I don't have my computer with me and I want to listen to something on a slightly better speaker than just my phone, it's going to be on an Echo Base, and I can't do that right now with Apple Music. And we're not buying a HomePod anytime soon.
Yeah. Well, I'll let you know how the HomePod stacks up, because mine will get here on Friday. Mm-hmm. So what I'm coming up with now is that as we've talked through this whole Spotify versus Apple Music subscriber base thing in the United States, I think Apple could increase their growth beyond the 5% per month that they're doing right now if they were able to rework their algorithms so that they could better take advantage of the music they already have. Because mm-hmm. if I was experiencing more variety in the music like people do on Spotify, I think that would go a long way towards drawing in even more people. Because right now, yeah. The general feeling that I get from other people is that they think that Apple Music has a very limited selection compared to Spotify. And what we're looking at is 45 million tracks on Apple Music versus 30 million on Spotify. So that's a lot of music, and it just feels like there's not enough variety, even with all that music. So time for some algorithm fixes, Apple, and start drawing in more Apple Music subscribers.
It sounds like Apple just has a whole bunch of discovery nuts they need to crack.
Yeah, well, hopefully they're working on that. And we'll have to come back to discovery nuts later, which, by the way, is one of my favorite hiking snacks. Well, we'll have to come back to that because we're like way out of time. So, Kelly, thank you for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me.
And Andrew, thank you for being here as well.
Yep, thanks for having me.
And listeners, thank you for joining us. It's great to have you here yet again. We'll see everyone tomorrow.